for it. And we are live.
Thanks a lot, everybody.
Welcome, Chrononauts. I mean, welcome, Wolf Brothers.
Oi, Wolf Brothers.
Hey. Oh my gosh.
Nice boybin.
I'm gonna completely derail our podcast to tell you my new favorite time pop bit is you just might be a time traveler. If your mom is trying to kiss you, you just might be a time traveler.
I mean, technically, if you're disappearing from family photos, you just might be a time traveler.
If you're on a ski mountain and everyone's wearing pink neon, you might be a time traveler.
Big fact. Pink neon. If everybody's listening to Michael Jackson and doing cocaine, you may have fallen into a hot tub time machine.
But if you're listening to this podcast, thank the light, everyone. I am your pod mistress, and these are my wolf brothers.
Minus one. I will be your bipartisan today.
Oh yeah, welcome to Election Watch. We're not talking about
let me just say it doesn't matter if you vote for the Amilrin seat or the dragon, Ishmael, whoever you vote for, nothing's gonna fucking change in this country. Just
yeah,
for all of you that think one person is gonna fix it, no, just stop it. Do something to fix your be a better neighbor.
And just remember, no matter what happens, half the country lost tonight. So be kind.
And everybody's going to be a little feeling a certain type of way. So
yeah.
That being said, I will also be your Oglier stone mason / guide in the ways.
Oh, I'm not. Are we not live? Why are we not live?
It says live.
Are we? Yeah, we're there. You are live. Hang on. This may slow down our feed real quick. I just want to see. I just don't see us popping up. So, okay. All right. Well, there that is. All right. Well, hopefully someone...
some connection issues.
Well, I just did something that they're like, yeah, this is going to really, really slow you down. Sorry, everyone who's out there waiting. But, you know, just in case someone does show up live, I want to be here. I don't know why it's not showing up here. While I'm looking for this, I will issue my two caveats. One, I am reading the books. Sometimes I ask questions that makes you question my reading. There we are. We're live. I believe it. I love it. But trust me, I'm reading the books. I'm trying to keep up. Fatty is pulling me along and informing me. And you out there can also come on your live and help me out. We're kind of in the middle of some kind of setting up chapters. Am I just getting louder and louder?
It's just like almost like you're getting feedback, dude.
Okay.
That's feedback too. Go through a tunnel.
But anyways, and also the most important one, the views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entities they represent, i.e. We Mixed It LLC and Sounds Awesome respectively.
Right.
Yeah, these, I'm so glad, like, even more than usual, I'm glad I listened to these chapters twice. Like, the first time I listened, I was like, wow, nothing happened. And then I listened again. I'm like, oh, okay, something's happening. I mean, we're at least meeting people and learning about them and stuff like that.
Things are definitely happening. It's like, these are those ones, it's like, they're not sloggy because they end up being really important, but it's, you know, this is like Robert George, this is Eleanor Rigby's view of courtship. This is what he thinks it is. Let's mock the ladies and pull their hair when we're in fifth grade. No, let's not do that. Let's say, hey, I like you. You're pretty cool. So I get some Aiel stuff that is pretty funny. The two clips I have are Aiel, just like some back and forth between Gaul and the two maidens that, like, these two maidens, they get attached to Faile and they become like, they're like almost like her bodyguards. You know, they're with her a lot. And Gaul is almost basically the same to Perrin, like him and Perrin, they pretty much stay together the rest of the way. I think
really
Gaul might leave him for a minute, but Gaul is with him almost the entire time. Like, they're wiener cousins, man, from here on out. He kind of takes the place of like Rand and Matt, like kind of all in one, you know.
Do they ever become Eskimo brothers?
No, he doesn't. They doesn't swing like that. Perrin is a very monogamous fella.
To who?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. He's got a wifey.
I guess so.
Hey, that's what happens when you want a new wife. You kill the old one. I've watched Dateline. You just kill them for the insurance money. That's what happens.
You take them on a cruise and get a nice balcony suite.
She fell.
Dude, look at all these empty bottles of wine. All I'm saying is I didn't have to push her that hard.
Dude, we'll be watching some true crime shit. I'll be like, that's one I haven't heard before. She'd be like, you better forget it right now. I'm like, I'm not storing Rolodex murder plans in my head. I'm just like, oh, that's a new one. You know, at least they were creative. Jesus. There's this one that we've been watching. It's called How Not to Get Rid of a Body. And it's like, I'd almost say it's kind of how to get rid of a body, because there are some ones that I have never seen before. And they ended up finding him pretty fast, but it's only because it's like, we know you killed this person. We just can't fucking find them. And when we're going to prove that you did it. And so that's kind of what happens. But like some of them, it's like, geez, all right.
You got to get away from it long enough for the animals to eat the evidence. Just
dude, the one I saw, God, let's talk about derailing the podcast. The one I saw, it was like, there was, it was back east somewhere. And it was like I think it was the Vandals, maybe like the motorcycle gang. They were involved with
Yeah.
And the lady's property backed up to one of these like old, like colonial kind of cemeteries. And one of them had like, once you move like this kind of crypt tombstone, like the size of Han back here, it's even bigger than that. You move it and there's like this whole underground like chamber that's like the size of this room. And it had some bodies in it from way back in the day. But then it had two fresh bodies in it too.
Ooh.
And it was like, if someone wouldn't have ratted, they probably never would have found him. It was pretty wild. I was like, fuck, dude, I'm never going to the back east. Jesus.
Just don't join a motorcycle gang. You'll be okay.
It's too late. Just kidding. I don't have a motorcycle. I'm just in a gang. We don't have motorcycles. We just walk around kicking the can like an old 50s greaser gang. We just have switchblades that are cones.
Justin has hand tattoos, people. That's gang affiliation. That's probably cause.
A hand tattoo. One.
Oh, you only have one? No, it's one finger tattoo. Don't you have? I thought you had a couple on your. Oh, okay. Never mind.
I got half of a sleeve, but. Which Justin has fucking cover up all the time.
Justin has a neck tattoo that says "nosy little fucker," aren't you?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Says, "What the fuck are you staring at?" That was Berlin's fucking thing. So, all right.
Today we are talking about the Shadow Rising, chapter 18 and 19. Chapter 18, Into the Ways. Chapter 19, The Wave Dancer. Into the Ways. We didn't cover this chapter last week, but it's all. It's all culminating exactly the way we would have expected. Everyone's pissy and they're going to the ways, and they're all going to the ways for their own reasons. And some people don't want them to be in the ways, but they are in the ways. The other people know a different way. And women be shopping, men be watching football.
Wolf brothers be wolf brethren. It's like, I don't even know. So yeah, no, you get a lot of gender politics. Like I said, this is some bullshit that, you know, is carrying over from the ones that we talked about, like, what is it, last week or 2 weeks ago with Fael and Berlin. Perrin is kind of trying to be mean to Fael and she's opening herself up to it, right? You know what I mean?
He's nagging her.
Yeah, he's absolutely nagging her. He's trying to push her away. And she's making it easy because she's just being pissier and pissier. And while she's doing something that is very common in Saldea as a part of, you know, pitching woo, if you will.
But
it's for someone in the Two Rivers, just like, my mom was supposed to pick out who I married. Like, I don't know what's happening. my mom was supposed to make me a match with a nice village girl or a girl from Devon Ride up the way. And then it would be cool. But Devon Ride needs a blacksmith anyway. I was just going to move up there. I'm still close. It's fine.
You probably got to travel. I mean, the Two Rivers isn't that big. You probably got to travel a little bit so you don't marry a cousin. Like, you got to.
Yeah. Listening to the fucking Order of the Phoenix, they start talking about pure blood wizard lines. And I'm like, He's like, everybody's like a cousin somewhere down the line. I'm like,
Do they say that in Order of the Phoenix?
Sirius Black says it out loud about his family. I'm like, oh, that's why the teeth then. Just like
that's fantastic. No, my favorite.
I was laughing so hard, dude. The way they describe Hermione's tea sometimes too, about how she likes, you know, how that's what made me say the tea thing is because they talk about how bucky her teeth are, and then she gets hit with a spell at one point, and they just keep growing. But then when she comes back, they're like, "Why do you look different, Hermione?" She's like, "Well, I went to, you know, Madame Pomfrey or whatever the I think is the witch's. I can't remember the witch's the like medical witch's name. But she's like, well, she told me to stop when I got back to where my teeth normally were, and I had her shrink them extra." The books are so much spicier than the movies, man. I was laughing pretty hard at them, dude. At a couple of times, I'm like, Jesus.
And that's when Ron finally noticed her. He's like, oh, she's pretty behind.
Oh, yeah. Teeth. No, that's the Goblet of Fire when she goes to the ball with Crumb. He's like, oh, my God. She's like, well, maybe if you noticed me before I was the last person around to talk. But anyways, I digress. Wrong book series.
The so Weasleys. Said,
Perrin and the talk Weasleys. About, they're
talk about cousin fuckers.
pure blood gingers. But like you said, Perrin and Gaul, you know, they, you know, Perrin has asked Gaul to come with him. He's asked Gaul to see if anybody else wants to come. Unfortunately, they're like, we follow, you know, the Dragon Reborn, not the Dragon Reborn's best friend. So,
yeah,
basically, it's just Gaul going with him. And then the two Aiel maidens go with Faile, which is definitely very shrewd of Faile, because she's doing it because she knows that three Aiel are worth, you know, fucking 20 white cloaks probably in a fight, you know.
Yeah,
because they just, that's just who they are, that's what they do. They're samurais, they're ninjas, they're the whatever you want to, whatever you think the best fighter in this world is, they're that, and probably times 10.
Are so the Aiel, are they the run, are all the Aiel, are they the ones that are running without the horses, because they're
yes, and so they're like right behind the horses, and they're like not even winded. That's yeah. Like right after, yeah. That's pretty funny, actually. That's one of my clips is they start the little back and forth they have about how stone dogs are so fucking slow or whatever. So, yeah, Perrin and Gaul, they're heading there. You know, Faile is like, well, Loial's going to lead me, but, you know, I guess you can come if you follow me like a little puppy. Just more bullshit games, yeah. You know. And
is Perrin's problem a little sexist, or is it like women shouldn't be coming, or is he just love her and want her to be protected, period?
Yeah, it's more that. It's definitely more that. He's like, you know, everybody's entitled to fight. He's like, I mean, he wants to protect everyone. Like if he could make no one fight ever and be in danger, that's what he would prefer, but especially her. He's like, I can stand other, you know, like Rand's kind of the same way, but it is, I don't know if I'd say sexist, but chivalrous, you know, it doesn't really come off as like, you're not capable. It's just like, look, I will do anything to not let you get hurt.
And the easiest way to do that is to leave you behind.
Is to get you away from me, you know, like Arya throwing rocks at her wolf and fucking.
That's true. And he knows he's Tarvirin too. So he knows that shit's just going to follow him, especially in the ways.
Well, and I think Faile kind of is like almost at this point, still kind of like, she's like, yeah, he's the dragon, but like, is he the dragon? You know what I mean? We're like, what? Like, she's still kind of like, you know, you can be great on your own, Perrin. And it's not like out of like a malicious or anything like that. She's just like, she wants to get him away from Rand because she's afraid that Rand will get him killed as well. And so they're both kind of working for the same thing. They're just not same page.
Sorry, I'm just looking at the beginning of this chapter. I kind of forgot a little bit. Once they kind of get to the ways get to the ways, I kind of remember it. But like, yeah, Moraine is still back in town getting everybody pointed in the right direction, right?
Yeah, basically she's getting Elaine and Nynaeve off to, you know, wherever the fuck they're going. Tanchico, I believe.
Does Moraine have a plan yet of where she's going?
She's going to go wherever Rand goes at this point.
Oh, right.
Because that's one of her answers, I believe, in the, I think she finds out that she's going to, you know, she finds out how she's going to die. And she finds out that, like, you have to stay next to Rand. Or, like, I think they show, I don't know, I believe that, I think she asked the question in a way where it's like, what should I do to stay close to Rand? And they make it clear that, or maybe she sees that in Riudan, because she goes to Riudan. I think she's told to go to Riudan. She's told to go through the rings. And I don't know if she sees it there or if they tell her about it through the doorway, but they're like, if you share his bed, that will be the end of everything. Like he will not, you know, like he will destroy the world again, basically. So she's like, I know that would be like the worst thing that I could do, but I was trying to like, how do I stay close to him and, you know, get him to listen to me and all that? And like, so that's why she eventually gets like really subservient to Rand. She just does like whatever he says. And like, even at a certain point,
chapter 18,
shut up. at a certain point, Lan even is like, this is like, you need to grow up. You're being immature, sheep herder.
My favorite quote from this, to anger the Ogier and pull the mountains down on your head.
Oh, dude, that's the last thing. And one of the last things I wrote, dude, it's like, oh. And when you got to see Loial fight in the show, which is cool because that's how badass Ogier are. They're like savage fighters. And they don't, you don't really know it because they don't do it ever. Except in time. Well, I guess the Shan Chan Ogiers are different than these ones. They're like Hare Krishna Ogiers, no violence.
Well, it's not even like they need to attack. Like if they just get caught in the middle of a scuffle, like they start just shrugging people off and they don't feel very good afterwards.
I'm gonna get out of here. But the other ones are like the Shan Chan ones are actually like a part of an army. They're you know, they're fighters.
Oh,
so.
Shan Chan Ogier.
Yeah, I hope we get to see those. That'd be interesting, but I don't know if we will. I don't think we're gonna get any of that. I'm almost starting to get bitter, like Jeremy, like just fucking kill it and give it to the CW and see what happens. You know, like I'm no like halfway between the two of you guys.
Well, that's the word that's what makes me the saddest is that this is going to be poison for 20 years now. People are like, no, they tried it and it didn't work. It's like, yeah, but they didn't try it very well. Like,
yeah, there's also a Hobbit cartoon that was like okay, and then the Hobbit was awesome. So just yeah. Stop. that being said, we'll throw our first clip out there. I believe it is Gaul and the maidens talking, I think, right after running to the waygate, like you said, after the horses. So let me know if my levels are all right.
Foolish to ask a simple favor. Should that be the case, he may still follow me like a lost puppy. I promise to scratch his ears and take care of him. The Aiel women doubled over laughing.
Up, down.
Gaul leaped straight up suddenly, kicking higher.
Turn it down just a little bit.
While twirling one
down
of the spears.
A little.
We will follow like stalking ridge cats, he shouted. Like hunting wolves. He landed easily, lightly. Loial stared at him in amazement. Bane, on the other hand, lazily combed her short, fiery hair with her fingers. I have a fine wolf skin with my bedding in the hold, she told Chiad in a bored voice. Wolves are so easily taken. A growl rose in Perrin's throat, pulling both women's eyes to him. For a moment, Vane looked on the point of saying something more, but she frowned at his yellow stare and held her peace, not afraid, but suddenly wary. This puppy is not well housebroken yet, Fayil confided to the Aiel women. Perrin refused to look at her. Instead, he went to the stall that held his dun stallion, as tall as any.
So yeah, that's before they even, I think, have left to head out for the way.
Yeah.
I pictured in my mind, Gaul just jumps up and, you know, as high, like, you know, Power Ranger style, kicks as high as your head and does a little kicky fucking chop. Like, yeah, that's right. And maybe we'll be stalking like ridge cats. And they're like, the fuck ever, guy. Like, not impressed, bro. Like, it's too funny. Like, I don't know. I just, every time I hear that or read it, I picture it in my head and it's just like, oh, Robert Jordan. Oh, Eleanor Rigby.
Who are the three main Fael we've met in this show? Are they Bane, Chiad, and Fael?
We haven't met Fael because that's Perrin's girl and she's not Aiel. Bane and Chiad we have met. And
okay, are those two of the three that we've, the three that are kind of roaming together?
Is there three? I thought one of them died.
Oh, you're right. So we never met the third one, really.
Yeah.
But they were introduced as Bane and Chiad? Or are we just supposed to assume that at this point?
No, they were introduced as Bane and Shea.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why I was disappointed that we didn't get Gaul yet, but I'm really hoping we get him in the third season. He's so great.
Yeah.
He's such a great character, dude.
Go ahead.
So I was just saying, you know, and parents trying to get out of there, you know, besides the fact that he's dealing with Fael being childish. And I don't know how old she's supposed to be. I think she's like 18, you know, and you know, parents only 21. So it's like, you know, they're fucking kids, dude. So it's like, of course they're stupid.
Yeah,
Rand would know how to deal with this way better.
Matt
knows how to dandle a lady on his knee and keep her smiling. I don't know, tell jokes.
Matt'll make you a squirter.
Okay. Matt's, you're like, where's my bracelet? Why is my butt sore? What's happening? Where's Matt? He's gone. He's got your shit all over his penis.
He's rolling dice. He's rolling bones in the tavern. No, Matt,
dude. Rolling bones. Come to daddy. Sevens. Seven.
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 Roll them in a circle.
Let's see what else I got on this one. Parents definitely try, like I said, besides all of their shit, parents trying to, like, he's literally feeling like a pull from Rand to not leave, like from the Taviran aspect and from the Dragon Reborn aspect, from the pattern. They want to keep him together, and the parents like, I have to do this. And so I'm not sure how much of, like, the pattern lets him, or if he wills it, or if it's kind of like he, you know, he's a Taviran, so he can bend it to his will to a certain extent, not as much as Rand. But Rand does it without trying. Perrin, I think, has to kind of like really, he has, that's why he's so strong in the Wolf Dream, because it's like, it's a force of will thing. It's something that it's not about the power. It's not about channeling. It's about a force of will in your mind to like, I can form this in my mind and believe it and will it to be so, which would be a really cool power to have.
So I forget. Yeah, this chapter ends with just Perrin and Gaul going through the Waygate. So why are they, I know that Perrin and Faile are bickering at each other, so they don't really want to roll together. But so Perrin, I guess I'll probably find out in the next chapter or two, but I assume there's a reason, like they're going to get split up in the Waygate, right? In the ways, right?
I mean, kind of, they're traveling, say, 2 car lengths apart. You know what I mean? They're like,
yeah,
just almost out of sight, but I know you're still there. There's some more bullshit, like at the end of this chapter where Perrin's like, he goes striding into the Waygate because he knows how to open it. And so he just opens it real quick, or as soon as, I can't remember if he opens it or if Loyal opens it, but as soon as it's open, he just goes walking through it, him and Gaul. He's like, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like, well, I want to at least be out of sight by the time they come through the Waygate. So I like, she has to like worry about me and shit. It's just like,
oh, see, if you're worried about her getting hurt, like leaving her to flail through the ways is not the way to do it.
Like, oh, it's not. It's really not. It's just like, I'm going to stay with you. I don't care how much you stick your tongue out at me. Fucking deal with it.
Yeah.
Don't care.
It's like, okay, stay behind so I can't hear you scream if someone does catch you. And then,
yeah, and guess what? There'll be Trollocs in here, and if there is, there's going to be a lot of them, and there's a good chance we'll die. Also, Machin Shin's in here, and if we hear that, unless we're about to walk out of the Waygate at that second, there's a good chance we'll die. Or worse. So you sure you want to go? Are you sure you want to go?
Are you sure you want to go?
Final answer? Final answer. Do you want to phone a friend?
Nope, I'm coming.
We're going. Okay, that's it.
Mine.
And then I do have another little clip. It's after they... I just have a note that says the Aiel are fit as fuck. So the other, I'm going to find it, but the other one, I'm sure you have more questions. So I'm going to find the other clip real quick.
No, I think any of my questions are going to just be guessing about the future of what's going to happen in the ways. And I'm just going to have to be a patient little reader and find out on my own.
Well, and I think especially for like people like you who are like, look, I'm having to get through this. And you're not, you know, like I said, it hits a little bit harder when you're under 20, I think. The way he goes back and like really describes the ways again, like we've spent some time there. We know what they're about. We don't need to be told why they are the way they are again, unless you're going to go into new details that we haven't heard yet, because you're going to add to the lore or something, which he doesn't really. I mean, maybe there's a couple little minute things, but for the most part, it's the same trip through the ways with different characters and different, you know. It's a different story, but in as far as the ways are the same at this point. And the way he goes into detail describing it again is frustratingly unnecessary, I think, for someone in your shoes.
And they're probably
the things I know.
And I could see them doing that with the show too. Like, we're gonna spend at least half an episode explaining the ways and Monty
again.
Yeah,
again.
Exactly. Yeah.
And who Peyton is.
Because it's been 6 years since we were in the ways, which is also another problem. All right, play your clip.
All right, and this is after the Aielman and Lady just ran down the them after galloping to the ways. Why? Like, why'd you ditch your friends? Were you in that much of a hurry? We'll get there, and then we'll just leave them a note.
Yeah.
In this mood, she was not about to admit he'd been right about anything. None of he said the sky was blue. The Aiel were not even breathing hard shopping when they slowed to a halt beside the horses. It is too bad it was not a longer run. Bane shared a smile with Jihad and gave Gaul a sly look. Else we could have run this stone dog into the ground, Jihad said, as if finishing the other woman's
sentence.
That is why stone dogs take their vows not to retreat. Stone bones and stone heads make them too heavy to run. Gaul took no offense, though Perrin noticed he stood where he could keep an eye on Chiat.
Gaul's response is pretty weak.
Do you know why maidens are so often used as scouts, Perrin? Because they can run so far. And that comes from being afraid some man might want to marry them. A maiden will run 100 miles to avoid that. Very wise of them. Are you said to me? Do you need to rest? She asked the Aiel woman, and looked surprised when they denied it. She turned to Loyal anyway. Are you ready to go on? Good. Find me this waygate, Loyal. We have stayed here too long. If you let a stray puppy stay close to you, it begins to think you will take care of it. And that will never do.
For you, Loyal protested. Are you not carrying this too far?
Exactly, Loyal. Exactly. Are you not carrying this too far?
Okay.
Of course she is. She's Saldan.
Oh. Okay.
That was a good joke. I'm
sorry. I was doing math in my head, so I can't do math and listen at the same time. I was thinking like Robert Jordan was like 65 when he started these books. And I'm just like, how? I mean, he's 45 when he starts writing this book. So he's a grown man and should be a little bit more mature, but not quite, you know, at 40, I'm 47 and I'm still working shit out about why women be shopping so much. So I can see why he's if he was 65 when he started these books, I'd be like, dude, are you sure you weren't a ghostwriter for your nephew?
Yeah. But it's like, like super fudge. What's going on? I told you I got suckered into dressing up for Halloween.
No, do tell.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I think you told me you had to dress up for work, but I don't think I heard.
I was like, I'm thinking about it. Everybody's like, yeah, dude. I was like, nah, I don't know, man. We'll see. So I wore the moccasins and the pants. Like I just got a pair of like brown, like lucky jeans that fit the costume perfectly. So wore those and brought the rest of the costume. And then once everybody saw the rest of the costume, they're like, dude, you got to put it on. It goes so fucking hard. And I was like, how many people were like, dude, the lightsaber. Oh my God. I was like, yeah, that's why the costume came to be. Cause I wanted a lightsaber. And I'm like, why the fuck can I just go all in? So,
and this isn't a big deal for Halloween. Cause I wear this shit every Tuesday.
I was like, nice costume. I'm like, what costume?
It's like I imagine you in 10 years like Ron in Parks and Rec. He's like, weren't you a pirate last year? Yeah, it's my Halloween costume. weren't you a Jedi last year? Yeah, it's my Halloween costume.
I changed my name tag to Fat One Kenobi.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I was torn. I mean, one of the kids I used to work with, Ben, he was like, he started calling me Fat One Kenobi and I loved it. But I was like, you know, maybe Stony One Kenobi would have been a little bit more pot centric, but Fat One is me.
And
that's me.
And, yeah, I didn't do Cormac War. So I bought Cormac and I, he was having trouble finding a costume. We got to the costume shop early this year. I'm like, we're going to go to the costume shop early and you can just pick whatever the fuck you want instead of going there last minute and taking what's left. And he just couldn't find anything he wanted. God, that is
Who turned this to red, motherfucker?
Evil. Like the, ooh, look at that green. It doesn't look green in the camera, but I can see the reflection behind you.
Yeah, it's green now.
Does it make,
I have another thing on
when you hit things with it? Does it make the choo? Oh, of course it does. Of course it
does. Yeah, it does.
But does it have a purple option?
Oh, it does. That's definitely the best one I have. I have a couple of them, but that's the best one. The sound is so amazing. It's so legit when you swing it around, though. It's so great. Oh,
that is so rad. I have more than one video, everybody, of Fatty out at night just practicing.
His you're gonna get more as soon as it fucking snows here, buddy.
Oh, count, yeah.
Count on it. I got a little shorty that, like, it's like a shoto, like a short sword one. Yeah, it's dope. Got it from Timu for free. Shout out Timu. Want to sponsor us? Bing bong.
Hell yeah. It's
so anyways, that's all I got for that chapter. Next chapter, chapter 19, which would be
Wave Dancer. Oh, sorry.
We should have had Dane. we should have had Dane on this episode because then he could talk about Elaine wanting to bare her breasts at sea.
Yeah. Did a naked woman walk in the room? Like, it's so funny. I kept missing what happened.
She walks in topless to serve tea is what happens. And okay. Then the captain, which is, I believe the females are basically the captains. And then they do have to use like a male counterpart that is like the first mate or something like that. But all the captains on Seafolk ships are female. And I believe they refer to their ships as him.
They're not captains, Justin. They are sea mistresses.
They're wave mistresses.
Wave mistresses. Sorry.
And then there's a wind mistress, I believe, and they are usually women who can, they're always women who can channel, and they learn how to control the wind to make them go faster on the ocean and shit like that. And to avoid storms. And, you know, she talks about how they've come into contact with some Shanchan and that they kind of had to fight their way out of it. And I believe Nynaeve says, you know, you're lucky they didn't have a Dahmani on that ship because they would have fucking shredded you because you don't know how to fight like them. So you're really lucky. And she was talking some shit.
Is that why they don't have rudders? Because they have wind mistresses to steer the ship?
No, the reason why, I don't know what the fuck. I think she's just saying that. So I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because I'm just kind of like, this is just Nynaeve going like, this is showing like what a fucking townie she is, dude. She's like, think of Black Pearl. It's got a big steering wheel instead of a rudder, like where they just, a tiller where they just push it back and forth. That's such a big ship and it goes into such deep water and it is so fast. It's okay. Just, you know, like, what do you call it? What the fuck they call the wheel? Goddamn.
Yeah, they don't. And as they talk about it on the show, when you're on a boat, nothing is named. It should just be a steering wheel, but of course you wouldn't dare call something what it is. You know, it's port, it's starboard, it's.
Goddamn it! Google that. I want to know what it's called. You got to do it. I can't take it. I'm gonna pick up my phone. I'm gonna lose our place. Actually, I don't have another clip, so it doesn't matter. But I have my internet turned off on my phone. But oh my god, no! It's a rudder. No. The rudder's not it. But I think she's saying like a tiller.
A helm?
Nah.
A wheel, a tiller, or a steering mechanism. Helm, wheel, tiller.
There's got to be a fucking word for it. Come on.
There's got
it. I thought it was just a tiller, but.
No, you're right. The helm is the whole system that steers the ship. Like
steering area. Yeah.
Oh, now you're driving me nuts because they won't just fucking. Wikipedia calls it the ship's wheel. Rudder head, rudder, tiller.
Yeah, I guess the wheel on the tip is called a helm. So, yeah, helm or rudder, I guess. Okay, anyways. But she's just saying that instead of just having a thing where you kind of like put on the back of the boat to make it go a certain direction, like very simple, this one's a much more, I think they're just saying it's a much more advanced ship worthy.
Right. Yeah, I thought she was like looking down in the water and there was nothing, no matter what you controlled it with, to steer the ship, which, you know, if you've got a magical person who can control the wind, then maybe.
Hell, you know what, man? I'd have to actually go back and listen to it. Maybe you're right. Because you know what? That would be something after reading this part 30 fucking times that I never picked up on. That you may be exactly right, actually.
We'll find out when they go out to sea. Yeah.
Nope. Well, won't hear this from the sea folk again until book 11.
Or season
good fucking
eight.
Times, though.
Or season
good
eight.
Fucking times, though. Or season
really? Do they just
probably never.
Do we the next time we see these women, are they just in Tenchiko? Just
I mean, they're on the ship for a minute, but after that I don't think we see sea folk until, you know, book 8, book 9. They start to enter into a pact with some of the Aes Sedai to try to control the weather during the last battle, and it's they have to make a deal with them. And yeah, so you don't see a lot of sea folk after this,
which means Bale Doman is just gone, is what you're telling me.
No, he marries a Shanchan. I'm fucking done hiding spoilers, by the way.
Yeah, that's totally. But he's out to sea. Like, we're not going to see or hear from him. I know he will come back, but he'll come back in book 11.
We talking book or
book?
Book or, yeah, no, he comes back pretty quick.
We talking about books? We talking about books.
We talking about books.
We talking books?
Are we talking about books? Philip.
You bring up the Amazon. You bring on the Amazon Prime show. We talking about books.
You're talking about Eleanor Jafkin's books.
So I'm going to share.
Was that you or Jeremy that sent me the God of War thing? They're like, at least somebody's paying attention how much he sucks.
that was definitely Jeremy. Because I'm not worried about what happens to God of War.
Because I don't think that Rafe Judkins sucks. I just think he's made some poor choices. Uh-oh, that whiskey's hitting. So is that CBD. Okay. What was I saying?
By the way, where are we? It doesn't matter because we're changing this podcast right now. This podcast is now called What Rafe is Up To Now. And we're just going to follow his career.
WWRJD. What would Rafe Judkins do? I see. I got it. That's a great name for a podcast. We could probably get him on. He seems like a narcissist. I don't know. I'm just going to change this great story that we already have. I'm going to make up some new characters because they didn't have enough. I'm starting to get pissed off at him.
So I'm going to tell everybody out.
Season 3 better be good.
I shared this with Justin and Jeremy, and I'm going to share it with everyone now. And I realized the crux of the problem with the show. The crux of the problem with the show is Rafe Judkins has a built-in audience of 40-year-olds. He decided to make a show for 16-year-olds who've never read the books. And the problem with that, 16-year-olds don't watch TV, period.
Or read books.
Even if you made the best show ever, Yellowstone, best show. It's awesome. No one under 38 is watching it. So, like, you've got to make this show for 40-year-olds, A, because it's a built-in audience, and B, they're the only people watching TV.
And when you're that same age, why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
And I don't want to get into any kind of politics, but I just don't understand. Like, I know, you know, oh, man, I know that you have to be a certain amount of narcissistic to be able to do what they do. I'm not blind to that. It's a certain personality type, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, athletes that are, you know, Tom Brady, that guy's a fucking sociopath. Look at his fucking eyeballs.
Yeah.
There's a certain type of personality that excels that way because they're just maniacal. But what the fuck, when you have something that has so much to draw from that makes you so arrogant to say that I need to make up something new just to kill them off.
It's
a waste of time. I just don't get it. And like, you know what? I'm still down with the show. I still like it. I just don't see why you don't give a little more fan service. Because when you've given fan service, the few times that you have and little ways you have, even people like Jeremy fucking come all over themselves.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm still just, I've never actually looked up Rafe Judkins. Just be like, what has he done? What is he? And he was like, he got this show because he apparently was a fan. Like that was his whole thing.
Yeah, that was this whole thing. You did see that it's going to come out before September, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. It should be. I mean, it's still 6 months away. But
August 31st, motherfucker.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Amazon kept pushing it back. Because especially, I don't know what else they have. But if this is dying, they don't want it getting in the way of anything else they're trying to birth and make popular and survive.
Like I said, you know, there's so much, you know, news on the internet. Everybody can kind of spin things from a certain point of view, right? But everything I see is that the show is pretty popular, but not with, like you said, the 40-year-olds who love it.
Yeah, and if it is that popular with 20-year-olds, great. Then just keep that. I'll take what you can get. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I know we're repeating ourselves every episode, but it's just so frustrating. Like, whatever the fuck this is, I want to see him finish it, you know, even if it's frustrating how far outside of the books he goes, it's going to be 10 times more frustrating to just watch this die in the vine again, because they're going to call the Wheel of Time a poison pill and no one's going to touch it for decades. Oh,
yeah. We'll get an awesome version when I'm like 75 and be like, oh. Desmond is finishing A Memory of Light. Finally, yeah. After 27 years of podcasting, he's finishing the books.
I'm so glad how we're going through this right now. Like, sometimes I'm thinking like, oh, maybe we should figure out how to go through it faster. But the good thing about the small chunks we're doing is it's easy. I listened to it at least twice, which is good, because if we were racing through 6 chapters a week and I was listening on 1.8 just to get through it,
yeah,
I would be 10 times
more. You're going to have to rehash it to make it stick, I guess.
Yeah, Yeah. And so this, instead, I'm not going to read all 15 books and then read all 15 books again. So to read each, to listen to each chapter twice in a 2 or 3 day span is perfect.
Well, and kind of jumping sideways a little bit, the reason why it's funny to be going back over these with you and Jeremy as you know, a person who's raised children, they're out of the house, been married for a while, been through a lot, ups, downs, sideways, everything. Seeing the things that annoy you about the book used to be the over, like, oh my God, I don't give a fuck about the lace on her bodice. Okay. I don't care. Like, yeah. I don't need a half a page about it. What's really annoying me right now is it's like how they, my knee mentions that the sea folk have a reputation for beauty. Oh, you know, I'm picturing him from Vietnam. You're like, oh, the mysterious girls of the Orient or some shit, you know, like, and I'm just picturing his state of mind writing it. Right. You know?
Yeah.
Which is not in a bad way, not in a bad way at all. Just, you know, funny. And then like, and he's like, they just look like any other person. They're just a lady. She's got boobs and a butt, you know, like, and he's like, who gives a shit?
She's kind of good at her job.
I found that really funny. Yeah. She's kind of cute. I don't know. Whatever. I don't know. She's got a good smile, whatever. Perky boobs, whatever. She's good. She's got a massive strength in the power, which is way cooler than any of that. You know, just, it was just funny. Like the stuff like that I'm kind of catching, like little things that like make me kind of laugh out loud. Like, the fuck, dude. Another one was Nynaeve's a fucking miser. She's like,
God.
Like tip her. It's like going out to dinner with your parents. You're like, Jesus, put the $5 back down on the table. You don't get to take it back. I put it there.
What? They get paid. They get an hourly wage. What?
Not enough. Oh, dude.
And complaining about the road.
Look, I'm just gonna have a little thing real quick. I get it.
Remember, this is live.
Our society, this is a little, I wonder if it turns out, this is an aside. So, ooh. Here's the thing. I get it that tipping in our society has become a little too much. You tip for everything. My job, I think, very much deserves tips. Maybe not everybody. Some people walk in, hey, give me a joint. Boom, out of here. Bang. There are some people who monopolize so much of your fucking time, whether they're nice or not. And then they, you know, most of them tip, whatever. But I had a lady come in. The aside is over. I'm talking to you all now directly. I had a lady come in and was like, do people tip you? Looking at our very full fucking tip jars. And kind of goes, ugh. And like me and my coworker, Josh, I had my back and I kind of glanced over my shoulder and I watched Josh. Like, he's a really nice dude. He's a big guy. He's really soft-spoken. He's funny. Like, he'll get excited, but like, he's a really nice dude. And I watched him like grit his fucking teeth. And I was like, and she walked out and he goes, man, fuck that lady. And I was like, bro, I'm glad you were helping her because I wouldn't have been able to keep the sneer off my face going, yeah, lots of people. And you should too. And from now on, don't think I'm going to make sure you get every discount. And I'm going to sell you the shittiest weed that I have in the store. Good luck. Oh, does this have mold on it? It's for you.
It's for you. Let me give, it's like I tell people, like,
that being said, I would never do that. It's like spitting in someone's food as a chef. I would never fucking do any of those things. I'm just being funny, just for the record.
You could, I might not.
But that lady was a cunt.
Does she come in a lot or was that the first time you'd seen her?
I think she does come in a lot. And I'm going to try to make sure I remember her face next time because I want to poop on, I want to wipe her bag on my butthole. I will do that.
Oh my God. What was I going to say? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Also, Nynaeve doesn't know what bananas are.
Oh, I missed that.
It's just like some weird fruit and yellow and bunches is weird. It's like, why don't you just say it looks like a wiener, Nynaeve? Like, you're fucking retarded. Like, what the fuck, dude? Like, I get it. You've never been out of the Two Rivers, but for crying out loud.
Just,
hey, why don't you go, hey, shoulder, tap, 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 tap. What are those?
What's that? How do you steer the ship?
Oh, we call those wiener fruits. They are very tropical. We call them fina fruits.
They're yellow curved penises. Oh, damn!
You know what? I want a scene in a show with Nynaeve trying to eat a banana without peeling it. I don't know why that's so funny to me.
Oh, where is it? Damn it! It must not be in there. I was trying to search for it. My sister, I thought it was my sister, but it must not have been, sent me a hilarious picture of a funny name for a banana, and now I can't find it.
Whoa. Great joke, Dez.
Nailed it. Oh my God. I just like
that's pretty much what I got for this. I mean, like, you get a little insight to the sea folk, right? And you get to see a little bit of their, you know, oh God, what's the word I'm looking for? Not rituals, not ways. What's the word I'm looking for?
My brain
customs. Jesus God. Christ. I've been trying to think of that for three days. I'm trying to think of that. Man. Fox Bank.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, you don't offer to pay them. You offer them a gift, which will in return be given a gift. And it's like,
yeah, and no, they won't. They apparently,
that's what we call a transaction in our.
That's bartering. Yeah, that's a transaction. Sometimes you give the hooker drugs and then she gives you sex. It's the same thing.
But you still.
I also have never done that. Drugs. Again, just being funny. Just being funny.
Just, I.
Hey, I just want to say, hey. I had the lady at the liquor store, stay right at Buffalo Trace. She said I should drink this, and she was right.
Very nice.
Delicious.
I'm going to take an aside right now just to tell everybody why my brain is melting. I'm going to look to this side here. So
you have an 8-year-old.
So first of all, well, that's what I wanted to say too. Fatty was talking about your kids growing up and getting out of the house and how you're kind of over that. I am right smack in the fucking middle of it right now. I have a 9-year-old. He is 9-year-olding the fuck out. And we just had a soccer tournament in Fatty's old town.
That was Sacramento.
Sacramento. We went to Sacramento with the whole team. We stayed the night. It was really cool. Like, it's so funny. This is my third tournament now, so I know how it goes. But like, my first tournament, I took some entertainment stuff because I fucking love a hotel room, you guys. I love a small, easily cleanable space without all my shit to distract me from relaxing.
I used to.
It is my Fatty's never going to stay in a hotel again.
I'm going to Seattle again on Saturday, bro, and I'm driving home. Lisa's like, you sure? I'm like, oh, I'm fucking sure.
Stay in one by yourself, though, man. That would be so awesome. I would fucking kill a homeless man.
Yeah, that's not so bad. But in a hotel. Don't tell anybody I said that. Because when you're by yourself with no dogs, you can afford a nice hotel. I cannot unless I'm by myself. I take my dogs everywhere I go, and it's like an extra $80.
Oh, and usually not a very nice hotel. It's an extra $80 for
I'm pretty sure we got scabies this summer.
Already got 1,000. So the first time I'm like, well, at some point everyone's just gonna want to go back to the hotel and chill out, you know, whatever. Get their kid to calm down for the fucking two more games we have. First of all, we got our ass kicked on Saturday, both games. Like, holy, you have never. Our boys are good. They are good soccer players. I didn't know you could. I didn't
just
know
got not. Curb stomped.
I didn't know 9-year-olds could be so. I didn't know 9-year-olds could be so disciplined. These teams were so disciplined. They spread out. They shared the ball. They were in position. It was wow. I mean,
all those kids are going to grow up with severe anxiety.
The best play of the whole weekend. The best play of the whole weekend. Cormac, my son, 9-year-old, gets stepped on, gets his ankle stepped on. So he goes to the ground with, you know, a half twisted ankle, gets stomped on. You can see him about ready to cry. He looks around. He goes from like almost tear to just Hulk mad. Just
raged
up,
out. Yeah.
Took the ball and shot a missile into the back of the net. All of this happened in the span of 20 seconds. It was fucking magical. We lost that game 4-1.
Hey, but that was small victories, though. The boy had the goal, and it was a good one. It was a fucking anger goal. What position is he?
He's a defensive. They call him the wall. Like, every team he's ever been on, like, without even bringing it up.
So he's a defenseman? Dude, that's I played goalie.
But they've been he's been getting better at offense, so now he plays center back. So he can still be the wall, but he can also advance without leaving his post.
Without being offsides,
Yeah, totally.
So he shot it. So basically, he put a fucking a Steph Curry three in the back of the net because he couldn't have been close. That's good shit, dude. That was me, man. Like, I was never like a forward because I was never very fast, but I was good at slide tackling and I was good at defense and I could handle the ball really well. And I was I was a goalie for a long time because they fucking nothing got past me as a goalie because I was fucking a spastic fuck. I was always like.
And have you always been a big kid? Did you have a late growth? You had got your growth spurts early.
I was like I was 5'4" until I was a sophomore, dude. And then between end of sophomore year and beginning of junior year, I grew like fucking 8 inches.
Yeah, but you were probably 5'4" when you were 11.
No, I was pretty small.
No, okay.
Yeah, maybe now, you know, I was probably like 5 foot tall from like fifth grade on.
Yeah.
But it's not even that. You know how like you've been in kitchens with me enough and at home with me enough when something's about to roll off a counter or something or a pen's about to drop. You watch me snatch stuff. It's not because I have such great reflexes, because I do have good reflexes, but it's more I'm really good at anticipating things. And so I'm like, I know where that ball is going to end up by how you're moving your body. And like, I could get fooled if you were like, you know, fucking insane with your feet and you could Rodney Mullen the ball backwards, but you know.
Yeah, a 10-year-old.
I didn't give up goals.
Yeah, and Fatty
I played 1 year of competition soccer when I was like almost a freshman, and I'm just like, I'm done with this. I play baseball. I don't like soccer. I never liked soccer. I always wanted to play football. My family wouldn't let me play.
Yeah.
I'd probably be fucking have committed suicide by now because of CTE. I have enough concussions with never playing football. If I ever played football, I'd probably fucking be dead. So thanks, I guess.
You imagine ADD people being like hyper focused. Fatty has peripheral vision like 280 degrees, so like
that's true.
He sees that plate falling off the shelf from behind him. I've also seen him set his own shirt on fire twice in the same day. So let's not get carried away.
It's happened, I believe, 4 times. It happened twice in the same day, though. It was really cold, in my defense, and there was no heat on. And we were taking knife hits in the kitchen. Dude, that in front of one of the first girls that I tried to, like, date in Seattle. I, like, worked with her and had her come over to smoke bong hits, dude. And we were doing, like, knifers in the kitchen. And I legit let myself on fire. I'm like, you could go home now. We can just end this day. It's fine. I'll stay and smoke. She's like, it's a great story. I'll stay and smoke. It's all good. And I'm like, no, I really want you to go. So I can like go cry and jerk off and go to sleep because I'm so sad. I'm like, I'm alone. It was even before you moved in, dude, I think. It was only a little Jason.
I felt
extra alone because they, you know, Jason was just glued to her all the time. So it was extra, extra lonely.
Yeah.
Your girlfriend. Oh, you mean that fucking piece of fur that you rub your dick on every night?
God, I had such a crush on Linnea too.
I know you did. Her friend Tracy that we used to work with, I fucking had the biggest crush on her. I'll never forget. I kissed her one time and she was like, fuck, I have a boyfriend. You're like fucking 17. I'm like 26. I was like, it's all good. She's like, it's fucking not all good. I'm a drug counselor. I'm sitting here smoking weed with you. I gotta go the fuck home. I was like, I gotta go to school tomorrow. See you later. I got homework to do.
Bye.
She's just like, shut the fuck up. I hate it here. All right, we gotta end this with a story, dude. I'm gonna fight. I got some stories.
No, those weren't our stories.
I guess we can quit.
I got a story because it has an amazing ending. Holy crap. Oh, I this is actually in my storybook. So, okay, everyone, and stop me. I can just rush to the new. There's a new ending to this story. So if I've told this on air, just be like, okay, you've told this. So I was going through a rough time, people. I lost my father recently. I got a DUI. I'm a terrible person. Don't drink and drive. But that's what happened. No one got hurt. I got a DUI.
The fence got hurt.
The car got hurt. The people who rented me the car got hurt. Not physically, just monetarily. So I had to go. I was living in Seattle.
Spicy.
I got the DUI in Montana. I had to go back to Montana to go to court. And I was like, okay, this sucks. This totally sucks. I need to do. And my dad just died, so I had some money to throw around. I'm going to make this trip fun. So there's nothing fun to do in Montana. I'm not a hunter or fisherman. I know there are fun things to do in Montana. I don't hunt or fish. So I'm like, the closest thing I could find that was super duper cool was Denver. I'm like, well, I'm already going to Montana. I'll go down to Denver. Right.
I remember you went to Red Rocks. I remember.
Yeah, there's this huge Red Rocks show. I buy two tickets to this Red Rocks show. I go to Denver. I get a tattoo.
I don't even think I've heard this story.
I get a tattoo. Nope, not that one.
I was going to say, I got that with you. Okay, cool. I was like, I got that other one with you.
Yeah. This one I got in Denver. I still have two tickets. I don't know anybody in Denver. I go to the Seahawks-Broncos game that night. I buy a t-shirt and a Sharpie. I write on the white t-shirt, I have your ticket to the Red Rocks. I need a ride. I walk around this football game.
Did you also write, I am not a rapist on the back? Or a murderer?
I should have. That might have helped out.
I have no drugs either because I'm sober right now. I don't.
I definitely wasn't holding. I wasn't taking anything across state lines at that time.
Yeah, I'm sure, because you yelled at me a lot when I brought weed.
that's the other ending of this story. We'll talk about that story. Actually, I think we've told that story. I walk around this whole. I get a lot of looks. Everyone notices my shirt, but no one's approaching me because they were taught. They were raised right.
Because I'm murderer.
I'm like, fuck, I'm going to eat these two tickets. There's no way I'm going to be able to get to the Red Rocks. I go wait in the taxi line, and these two older party ladies, they were probably 5 years younger than I am now, but 20 years older than I was then.
Right.
They're like, what's going on here? And then I showed them my shirt, and they're like, oh my God. They're like, have you ever been to the Red Rocks? I'm like, no. They're like, you fucking have to go. I'm like, all right.
I'm trying to.
come with me. They're like, we can't go. We will get you to the show. Where's your hotel? We'll pick you up tomorrow and get you to the show. I'm like, no way. Like, awesome. So the next morning, it's raining a little bit. The woman calls me. She's like, you know what? It's raining outside. I'm going to go to Target first and get you some sweatpants because I know you packed light, and then drive you to the Red Rock. So she does that. I'm at the Red Rock show. I'm waiting in line. Someone comes walking down the line. Is anyone here alone? And I'm like, sure. And I'm still trying to sell my other ticket. I'm like, yeah, I'm alone. Like, I don't swallow, but I'm here all by myself. And he's like, I won these really cool tickets off the radio. I won like 8 tickets. I only got 7 friends to come. So I have an extra ticket. So I already have 2 tickets, probably paid.
Now you have 200. A third ticket.
Now, for $100, I buy this ticket for $100. So now I'm really trying to sell my other tickets. I can't sell my other tickets. I give a ticket away to a hippie for a necklace. So I got a necklace.
That's some dead show shit right there.
It's fucking amazing. I mean, there's half.
What show was it? Who was there?
I'm getting there.
Okay.
Half of the front 10 seats are reserved for like, it's like 200, 300 seats. There's like 50 people there. We just have this area all to ourselves. We're partying. We got VIP passes. Unfortunately, I didn't get any free booze with it, but I was as close as you could get to the bar. And like Justin said, I was kind of sober, but not for this show. DMC, The Roots, Toots and the Maytals, a couple surviving people from The Doors, Korn, 50 Cent.
Wow.
I got to shake 50's hand. I got to shake DMC's hand. I caught a drumstick from Questlove.
Questlove, yeah, I remember that.
It was fucking amazing. 2 days ago, my wife comes downstairs. Says, can you pause your video game? I said, yeah. I paused it. She bought me a poster of that show.
Cool.
Not the tour, the Red Rocks show.
That's
cool. Fucking amazing.
Love that.
So
I've seen
great.
The Roots, man. Roots are good. I saw The Roots before I even knew who the fuck they were. I when I was like 18.
I saw them when there was 2 people there.
Me and Jason, we with some other friends, we were going to go see Rage Against the Machine. It was supposed to be Rage Against the Machine and Wu-Tang.
Oh.
And guess Zach De La Rocha and Old Dirty Bastard like got in a fight or something. So Wu-Tang dipped or Zach De La Rocha kicked him off. I don't know. So they ended up playing with The Roots and it was fucking amazing.
They were rad.
That's, dude, Red Rocks is a fucking dope show. That's really cool, man. That's really cool. Hey, man, I got to show you this. You see this little glasses chain? So I got to wear readers at work because some of the stuff is so small, right?
Yeah.
My nickname is Pop Pop at work. But Lisa got me these glasses, this chain, bro. It is such an old lady chain. It's got my Scott on it. And it says, where does it say? It says fatty.
Oh, no way.
So one of the kids I work with, this kid named Skyler, he's like 25. He's like, dude, he wears glasses. He's like, dude, he's like, the pearl chain goes so hard. He's like, I'm about to copy you, dog. I'm about to copy you. I was laughing so hard, dude. I was like, dude, do it, bro. I don't think you will. I don't think you're cool enough. So, we got an LCB thing today, too.
A what?
An LCB thing. We had someone come in that's underage. And
no way.
This little guy I work with named Mariah, I think she's only like 21, 22. You know, when you get a vertical ID in Washington, we always double check them in our shop because those are the ones that will sting, you know. She comes up to me and she's like, hands it to me. And I was like, yeah. And I was with somebody. So I was like, yeah. And I'm like, hey, hope, nope. 2-5. Like, you got to get out. Mariah's like, no, right? No, right? No, no, they're not good, right? I go, nope, she's underage. She need to go. And then the LCB officers came in after her. They're like, yeah, good job, guys, blah, blah, blah. And Mariah was just like, I'm like, it's okay, dude. You did a good job. Like, you did it perfect. Like, she's like, I don't care. I can't breathe.
double check it is doing your job. Will they just shut you down? Will you guys just be closed forever?
No, you know what? I know what happens because one of my fucking dickhead employees fucking sold to some underage kid when I was a manager over there. I never tell you that story?
No.
Yeah, no, dude, I came in, this guy came in and like, it was like a younger black kid with like cornrows, and that gal that used to live on the same property that I used to live, Shannon, she sold him a joint, checked his ID and everything, put in her own birthday in the fucking green bits and shit. Oh. And it was like, she got shit canned immediately, dude. But it was like, you know, it was like she was into the brothers, if you will. And I guarantee you, if that kid was a white boy, he wouldn't have got past the door.
Oh, man.
Like, not a chance, she
just,
dude.
So she just gets fired. They don't take your whole shop down. They're just like, you fucked up. No, you're gone.
If you have more than one, yeah, you can get fucked. But I think you get charged with a felony. You're supposed to get charged with a felony if you sell to a minor.
Oh. Brutal.
It's kind of fucked up. No, it was good though. It was like I wasn't stoked that I was involved in it, because I looked at it, I was like, no, I was like, wait, I don't have my glasses on. I was like, nope, that's a five. Definitely not. You gotta go. That's a five. You gotta go. That's U18.
Oh. All right. Speaking of five, I gotta get my beauty sleep.
Yeah, bro. My ass is tired. My schedule changed this week, so I'm finally back on like 40 hours and shit. So I was like, get up at fucking like 6:30 the last 2 days. Oh. Then I got to work out like fucking noon tomorrow. It's like till like 8. It's bullshit.
Would you rather work early? Or
Saturday? Oh yeah, dude. I can't.
Go ahead.
I can't work fucking at night. Pop gets tired after about 7 or 8.
What are you doing in Seattle?
To be home with the wifey. Just going to see Zoe and a friend.
Whoa.
Because I don't know anybody over here and I don't want to die. So.
All right. We will do two more chapters again. We'll do 20 and 21 next Tuesday at 8 p.m. PST. Yeah, PST, people.
PST, what's that? P on Steve's toes?
Oh, yes.
Pacific Standard Time. Gotcha. I'm a little drunk. Sorry. I need to go eat some food. All right.
Sweet dreams. Give Lisa a hug. Love you, bro.
All right. Do I need to leave it open again, man?
Yes, please. Thank you.
All right.
Peace.
Bye.
May you always find water and shade.
Oh, yeah, may you always find water and shade. Nerds, I will be your parent. I borrow forever. Later.
Your pod mistress is out.
I'm out.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. go to whatsoundsawesome.com.